Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host Iggy Garcia and Mark Matheny. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, enjoy your lunch, and listen to some of the coolest things on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now on to the show. Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom. I'm Iggy Garcia.
I might be Mark Matheny.
And I'm Katie Feeney.
We're all here live here in Columbus, Ohio, sitting here, and none of us have lunch.
I have some too.
I have my peppermint and lemon and lime water that I created with my essential oils.
I have Ice Mountain.
Very good.
And mine is basil juice with orange juice and water mix.
Awesome. That sounds really gross.
It tastes good. It's the Ayurvedic thing.
Excuse me.
For my body type.
No, it's just funny. I just looked at it. I'm there going, what the heck
no,
is that? It looks like mud.
It does. It looks like mud water. But it tastes good.
I'm sure it does.
Ayurvedic.
Yeah.
We Ayurvedic. We all Ayurvedic.
How many Vedics does it take? Yeah. Never mind. It's going the wrong. Show's going the wrong way already. We want to welcome everybody to our Lunchtime Wisdom Show. I don't know what kind of wisdom we're going to give you today. Or, you know, maybe we'll unlock some mysteries of the universe like we usually do. This show's just for fun and hanging out. And some folks don't get a chance to listen to our other shows because they're too busy. Mondays are usually really, you know, crippling for some people. And it's really tough and really hard. So Tuesday is where we kind of come in for lunchtime and we say, hey, we're going to share with you our thoughts and things that are on our mind and the things that, you know, we want you to share with us as well. And I tell you, if anybody doesn't realize it, that we had a super moon last night, a big, I'm going to just say a big butt moon, man. It was huge and it was powerful.
Yeah, it was a little squirrely yesterday.
Yeah. That's an understatement.
Might be some squirrels still running around.
Some nuts.
Get shocked on the wires.
As my mom used to say, that's where the word lunatic came from.
Yeah. La luna. My mom says, "Taco la luna, you're with the moon." And I'm by myself. He's over there.
Yeah, there's a little phenomenon that I've coined the full moon hangover. Where, like, the day after the full moon, like, everyone's just, like, wiped out and, like, can barely function. It's like everyone's just, like, exhausted from being sleep-deprived for 3 nights before the full moon, so.
Now my best friend, her husband, he calls it mangina. Because he gets a headache and he feels lousy after a full moon. So he says, my mangina hurts.
I woke up, I felt like I had been drinking all night.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like sitting on the edge of the bed, you know, over there. Like my friend sent a picture of a fox holding himself going, man, everything hurts really bad. You know, I'm just like, man, I was telling Cs, I hate these full moons, especially the super moons, you know, because they're just like really whoop you. And I'd say the chatter today was just like,
yeah.
I'm just like, stop.
Absolutely.
Stop. You know, because yesterday, you know, anything that could possibly, you know, the, you know, Murphy's
blow
law,
up,
you know,
was blowing up.
But, you know, good thing I had my duct tape and my Gorilla Glue, and I was good, you know, to fix things. But it was pretty well. Had some things with kids and stuff that we had to take care of. But other than that, and then our soccer game was weird. You know, it's just like total domination of another team, and then we shoot the ball and it comes off a kid's head and goes into the goal. I mean, those are just kind of weird things that were happening yesterday. And as soon as I was going, I was the last car leaving the parking lot. And I look up going, that's a big moon. And this lady's jogging. Yeah, sure is. And I mean, she thought I was talking to her. It was funny. It was just, I was like, okay, all right. I'll take that.
So, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
So do you know how many gorillas you have to squeeze to make one jar of Gorilla Glue?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not even going there because that conversation could be taken very extremely wrong. By Katie. And I think she's taking it wrong.
There might be some wisdom.
Excuse me. Coughing up all that Gorilla Glue.
See, you're just assuming it wasn't intended wrong.
No, his face was intended wrong. When you looked at me, man, you gave me that cheesy look. How many gorillas does it take? You know, no, never mind.
Before
we go off topic here. Katie, biting her lips over there. Come on, Katie. Let it out. This is Lunchtime Wisdom. We're here to share our wisdom.
And then he just said a long time coming. So.
Oh, God.
Oh.
The werewolves are still out.
Houston, the wisdom train has derailed.
Yeah.
Okay, there's
there is wisdom and humor.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about today.
Laughter is medicine.
Absolutely. We're here to share with you about laughter and how the cosmic rifts and the planets align with laughter and what comes next. Laughter is a big part of my medicine. In my work, I find that it's a form of meditation. It's also a form of a cleansing. It's a form of, centering yourself and putting yourself back into that rhythm with... Because I think God laughs, or the universe laughs, at us and with us. And, there's always that beautiful rhythm. You just know, when I want to find that center point, I go to that laughing point. But what's funny is, my mom says, people who laugh too much end up crying. She's right, because you start crying after a while, you're like, so... The endorphins are running through your body. And just the chemical benefits of laughing is just, it's amazing.
Yeah, and too, for me, it's kind of a reminder to breathe properly, because it's like, I know a lot of people have, like, breathing issues, and it's like, man, it's like you get tight and tense, and, if you're upset or something, and it's like you just hold that in. It's like laughter just helps kind of get your whole system going again and remember to breathe out and in, kind of get with the flow of the universe, the tides.
And also laughing is actually, and tickliness is actually one of our higher forms of pain too, that you eventually let go. To be tickled, it can be very hard for someone to take. That's why it's so, when you tickle somebody, at first it's cool. But after a while, you just want to rip someone's head off,
Oh, we're getting the feathers out 10
well,
minutes in.
Well, you can tickle someone with a feather, on the bottom of their feet.
Today, folks, you're going to get a little treat today. Today we have a two-hour show. We'll do a live show, part of it's live, and then the other part of it's going to be the animal guide portion that I didn't air yesterday because of the full moon. We'll blame it on the moon. I'll just leave it at that.
Those trickster animal guides.
Yeah. So you get to listen to a past show that I did several years ago about animal guides. So that was pretty cool to share. Laughter. Joan Rivers died, right?
Mm-hmm.
She passed away.
Yes.
She was a magician with her laughter. But laughter is also a place where you can hide behind things, too. You can really deflect with laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Laughter can be one of those things that is a shield, it's an armor, so people can't penetrate you. Some people use anger, some people use sadness. And, laughter is one of those things, too. If you're not careful, you can actually use it, against yourself. Robin Williams is another example.
Mm-hmm.
A man who was full of laughter and made the world laugh. But inside, he was really suffering. He was really having some issues and having some hard times about it. And so, laughter, like anything, in small dosages, big dosages, you just have to know when is enough and when to dish it out.
Right, and I like to use it to kind of, deflect bad energy, or when there's too much intensity, you can tell everyone's in a bad mood.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I like trying to flip that energy.
There's nothing behind you. I just look over there all the time.
It feels like there's a sort of thing behind me, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I look over there all the time, too, when I do the other show. I don't like that. I'm going. I don't know. Maybe it's the window just distracts me. I'm like, like being in school. Oh, the window.
I want to go out and play.
Maybe there is a spirit down here.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Someone always taps me on the shoulder. I'm like, what? Doesn't freak me out.
Feels like a good spirit, though.
Yeah. Better be. Get my sage and my cedar and get out. No, I've never had any problems here.
Yeah, and I like to try and use laughter to push back a bit against fear and stuff like that. We've all got rebellious parts of our nature.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us more than others. So I might have enough for a few people out there if they're short. But I kind of use it to deflect, because you can feel when the fear and stuff is coming in at you and trying to manipulate you and whatnot. So it's like I kind of use that as a counter magic, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Say I'm gonna take your negative emotions and I'm gonna show that I am not under your spell, and I am going to deflect.
It throws them off.
Yes.
Because I do it too. It throws whatever it is off when someone's coming at you and they're angry and they're, you know, have some kind of odd emotion or sad or something, and I'm like.
Just like
and it
that.
Kind of just throws them off, you know? And they're like, why are you so happy? Because this is funny. I mean, and it can be funny or it doesn't have to be funny, but it changes the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. You know, I remember when I was a kid growing up, you know, my dad grew up in the streets of Peru, so it's not a tough time, tough place sometimes. And he would always tell me, he said, always laugh and act the craziest. Because people, you know, with angry people and mad people, you know what you're getting. But when you run into somebody who's laughing and you're not sure where their mind's at, you know, like, ha ha, just acting really goofy. You know, you're kind of hesitant to engage that person. You know, this guy's crazy or something, you know.
Yeah, muy loco en la cabeza.
So, you know, that's where the loco en la cabeza comes from, too. You know, like, my dad will always tell me, you know, just act like a crazy. Just laugh and act nuts, and they will leave you alone. And it always worked for me. Crazy short laughing guy, I don't know. Laughing Buddha.
Yeah, I don't have to act crazy.
Yeah, well, you don't have to act crazy.
Yeah. Naturally attuned to that.
I think we all are. In shades of gray, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and if you're one of those people, like, you had a hard life or your life hasn't been so good to you, and you've probably done enough crying in your life, then laugh. When things come up, just laugh at the situation and move on. Because, you know, it helps bring those good chemicals into your system.
Yeah, so how do we get people to laugh? How do you laugh? So how do you get into that train of thought of laughing? What takes you there, Katie?
Oh, I think of something funny.
Yeah. It's usually by yourself.
Happy place or funny situation, or I think of something someone said or did or how they look.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Mark?
Yeah, well, I mean, I like playing with words in the English language anyways, mm-hmm. So I, you know, whatever, you're throwing dirty entendres out or little plays on words or whatever, so I like getting other people to laugh, and that kind of changes the vibration, kind of changes the mood, and plus I have, like, hundreds of, like, comedians and stuff mm-hmm. that I love, so,
yeah,
you know, if I have to get myself out of the mood, it's like, throw on Bill Hicks or George Carlin.
Yeah, that'll do it. You know, it's funny because, you know, it's been proven scientifically. This isn't me just making something up, but laughter has actually helped people become well, you know, in mental state and in physical state. People who've had cancer, people who have had, you know, detrimental diseases, you know, just go away sometimes. You know, the body is picks up on vibrations, and laughter is a vibration, and it's a healing vibration. At that. So, you know, when you're in the vibration, lower vibration of, you know, being down and depressed, well, you know, your body feels that too. And it starts to take on and it starts to compensate. But when you're laughing and you're in good spirits and, you know, and you're like always, you know, wherever, take a little higher in the higher vibration, well, your body has to keep up with you. It has to keep moving with you. If not, you know, there can't be that. It's hard to be imbalanced like that. Because when you're down, you're down. You can't be positive down. You know, I've never seen a positive down person, you know. I've seen a person who's down who's hopeful, which is a little bit different, you know. But it's hard to be in, I think, two emotions at the same time. You know, I'm happy, no. You know, I think it's hard.
Yeah, plus depression makes you feel heavy and weighted, like you've got burdens on your shoulders, like you're... head is hanging and you just feel that heaviness, but if you can just laugh, it just feels like the burdens and all that heaviness is just lifted right off. So, or at least it does it for me.
Yeah, do you remember the Honey Badger video I did?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for those of you who want to get into the laughing mode today, I have a video on YouTube. Just look for E. Garcia on YouTube, and I'll put it on my webpage here, so it's there. But yeah, it's about laughing, you know, getting those endorphins running and getting that, you know, respiratory system kicking in and getting all the lymphatic system moving, because you start to move, you start to shake. But, you know, they'll remember that time when they had the honey badger was like kind of, it was really cool on Facebook, and everybody was like, well, I did a video on that. You know, I just talked about the honey badger and then just spun off into this crazy hysterical laughter that I got into. And, I mean, it made my dad laugh. So if it made my dad laugh, my dad's pretty reserved sometimes about stuff. And he was like, oh, he had to turn away because it was just too much. But, yeah.
Yeah, funny. You should definitely repost that.
Yeah.
I think I'll do one on laughter, too. I got a YouTube page now. I got to watch the settings because I posted something, and then people couldn't open it because it had a privacy setting on it.
Yeah.
So I've got to go in and try to take that off of there. But I think I'll do something on laughter. I laugh at myself often. I'll look at myself in the mirror for a while, and I crack myself up.
Yeah, and it's easy to get, you know, just too serious on things and take things too serious. I mean, because it does, if you get in those periods where it feels like everything is a life and death struggle and everybody around you is going through stuff, and it's like, that's where you got to just got to detach a little bit and step back and just, like, you know, get some perspective on things, because it's easy to get wrapped up and, you know, just got to remember, hey, it's all an illusion.
Yeah, but for some people that illusion seems very real, and that's where people have a hard time, you know, adjusting to life, because they can't. You're not able to separate, you know, what is reality and what's not, or you've created a reality that, you know, this other reality is even much more entertaining than the reality we're in, you know. So, and we all do it. We all do it, you know, to some degree, because we need to go to that place, that special place. And I'll be driving down the road talking to myself, hey, Iggy, what's up, Nacho?
And laughter raises your vibration, too.
It does.
Absolutely does. I feel 10 times better, you know, especially when I'm around you guys laughing, too. It really helps because, you know, I just can give you a look, and you give me a look, and I'm just like, what? And we start laughing, you know, especially with Katie. And she's goofy.
Sometimes, well, oh. Just like coming up, we've got a road trip coming up. So.
Oh my God.
Our road trips are so funny, especially when you know you're half, you know, tired and slap happy, and we do all kinds of stuff just to keep ourselves going, and it is so fun. And then we post it, and then usually people are looking forward to our road trips and our postings because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It is, especially some of the stuff in you.
Yeah.
It's hilarious stuff.
I'm a comedian, didn't even know it.
So look for it in a couple weeks, Iggy Garcia or Katie Singing Eagle or my name on YouTube is Katie Mack, CATIEMAC. So I'll post some stuff up or on Facebook, and it's just like some funny shit. I don't want to say that.
Yeah.
There's some funny stuff.
We are laughing, folks.
Just thinking about it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
There's some stuff already posted that if you go back, maybe last summer or last fall or something, you all out there will see it.
And remember, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing near you.
Right. And this episode is brought to you by Zucker Feathers. Your colored feather expert. Excuse me. I'm coughing on everybody here. All right, we're going to take a little teeny break.
Okay.
And we're going to come right back. So hang on, folks.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia, live here in Columbus, Ohio. We are talking about laughter, and I'm sure we'll phase into another segment here and another segue here in a second. But I think what I want to do is I want to ask Mark, since he's our astrology expert here on the show, kind of where we're going here in the next, maybe this new month or this then. You take it where you need to take it.
Okay. So you said something a few minutes ago that had brought something up to me. And it's like a lot of people ask, when is this energy going to stop, or when is it going to let up and stuff like that. And it's like, this is, every day isn't going to be intense like yesterday, but this is kind of the new normal now. Okay. Every day is going to be different. There's going to be lots of changes, and this is all to get us integrated into our light bodies.
Okay.
And so that.
Mine's kind of heavy.
The universe isn't really going to change because. Because we're not thrilled with what's going on at a certain time. We're here to raise our vibrational level. We're going to change and rise and lighten our vibration to meet up with the energies that are out there. And we're going to be better off for it.
Okay.
So we're having these, like every 6 weeks, we're having these energy jumps where we used to have two or three kind of major astrological events a month, and now they seem to be condensing down to where we have several in a short period, and so we have these massive energy shifts, and then we have 5 or 6 weeks to assimilate all these changes, and then we have the next jump up in energy. And this is all about, I heard someone use a good phrase called baggage checks. And these baggage checks, we're supposed to release those parts of ourselves that are the worries we don't need to worry about anymore, that old built-up emotional pain that no longer, you know, maybe served a lesson at some point, but isn't, we don't really need it now. So these baggage points are places to let go of stuff. And then to make sure that we do that, if we don't let go of something we're supposed to at the next baggage check, then it makes itself even more obvious to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, the energy exemplifies. It's like, you know, just imagine if you're at the airport and you go through one checkpoint and don't let them check your bag, then the, you know, TSA guy or whatever will be like, hey, you need to...
pull your pants down?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's how I go into the airport.
Let's check and see what baggage you got. No, but I totally get what you're saying.
So right, we had the super moon yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So this Saturday will be entertaining. So we just went through like a 9 or 10 month period that was pretty intense, where everyone was reevaluating their relationships, their jobs, their living situations. I saw lots of relationships end that weren't working. I saw new ones begin. I can't tell you how many people leave their job. Can't even count the number.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen lots of people changing their living situations, all kinds of stuff. So as we were from like last December through middle of July, everyone was kind of resorting where they stand with themselves and with the world. And it's like, where am I valued? Where am I respected? Where am I getting taken advantage of? Where do I need to make adjustments?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of internalization and crankiness in that period. Now some of those energies moved forward in late July and early August. So now there's kind of been an expansion where there's some of the anger and stuff like that has come outward instead of being repressed in, which, although sometimes has been difficult, maybe for the people, if you have friends that are releasing stuff and whatnot, but it needs to happen. It needs to come out. And so this has been a function of Mars being in the sign Scorpio, which is all of Mars is our instinctual energy, our instinctual behavior. It's kind of, it's how we evolve, our spirits evolve through our physical body, is through the Mars energy. And so, and the sign of Scorpio is about intense transformation.
Okay.
So we're at the end of this Mars and Scorpio transit. Now, there's a lot of intensity out there right now, but on Saturday, I believe it's 5:57 Eastern Standard Time in the evening, Mars is going to move from the sign of Scorpio into Sagittarius, which, that's right, that's right. So you Sagges out there, Iggy, you should get A, an energy boost.
Mm-hmm.
B, Sagittarius is a lot more philosophical and lighthearted than Scorpio is.
Mm-hmm.
Sag just kind of look for the wisdom and the lightheartedness and say, Sagittarius' ruling planet is Jupiter, which rules laughter.
Hey.
Whereas the Scorpio energy is very intense and it's all about transformation, and it can be very stubborn and very hardcore on the level of depth that it goes to,
mm-hmm,
to help us transform and to move on. So these are all, you know, none of these energies are good or bad. It's all what we do with them.
Sure. Scorpio, thank you.
Yes.
And we've had enough of you.
And I resonate well with the Scorpio energy. I have lots of Scorpio in my chart.
Boy, so you're, I'm going to get the double dose. I'm going to have to get my Wrigley's gum out and chew it.
And I am a Scorpio, so I've been going through, I know there's
hot flashes. Katie's like,
And I'm in a stage of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting rid of layers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, hopefully I'm seeing with those layers will come some of this poundage too.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, you know, everything, sometimes when you hear astrology readings, man, it's like really deep, and it's like I'm always going, is there any positive light within the realm of astrology? You know, I know there is.
Yeah, it's, and that's an easy trap to fall into because, I mean, I'll tell you, I don't know how many readings I've done in my life. I mean, several hundred at least, minimum. But you know, most of it, especially with so much upheaval going on the last couple years, I mean, it's usually the majority of time people don't go to an astrologer or a healer or a tarot reader or whatever, or their regular medical doctor when they're, you know, they don't go when they're feeling great. It's usually when they're, you know, usually they're on when something, there's an imbalance or something doesn't feel right or they need some guidance on
right.
Something. Now, sometimes I get people that come up saying, hey, I do this every year, every 2 years, or whatever. I just
mm-hmm.
want to see what's going on. I got some interesting options and stuff like that. But usually there's, you know, some kind of impetus that has spurred them on to seeking, you know, additional knowledge as to what's going on in their situation. So I try to, you know, and it's all, it's rough sometimes because you see somebody's chart and they're like, oh, man, this person's just getting beat up right now. And you just want to, you know, you just want to pick them up and...
You make a good, valid point that, you know, sometimes we, even in the holistic field that we're in, people wait to come to, you know, practitioners before, you know, after they're going through something. It's like going to the doctor, I'm sick. Really?
Right.
You know, it's like...
Right, right.
You know, there is like a little ounce of prevention is a pound of cure, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, I think that, you know, sometimes we need to stay in contact with, you know, with people who are in this type of work, even maybe a medical doctor. I'm not condoning either or because they all have purpose. Because if I break my leg, I don't want anybody saging my leg, and I want to put a cast on it, you know?
Exactly.
So everything has its purpose. Everything has its place in the sphere of this, you know, universe that we live in this creation, this manifestation we've all worked to bring together.
That makes sense, though, because if there's a healing circle going on, or sometimes some churches, they have a healing line, even if you're not sick sometimes, go be a part of the healing circle
mm-hmm.
or getting the healing line and have someone pray for you or do ceremony with you or whatever, just in case there's something that's trying to get into your system or get into your spirit or attach itself to you, because that way it's preventive.
Yeah.
Preventive
medicine. It's like when you have a car, you know, you change oil every 3,000 or 5,000 miles, you flush the radiator, you know, you do things that maintain the car. You know the car is going to break down. You know it's going to have its time limit. And the human body is the same way. It's a temple. And it's given to us to take care of it, not to abuse it. Sometimes people don't know when they're abusing it. I mean, because they go through the system, oh, well, I'm fine, you know, I'm doing it, you know. That's just how we are as beings. We're so busy being and not doing, you know. We should be human doings instead of just being. But, yeah. So I'm going to give everybody a call-in number, those of you who can call in if you have any questions for Mark, Katie, or myself. It's 646-595-3440. Again, that's 646-595-3440. My voice is like going off to Planet X or something. So we're going to go to a little break, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
We are back with InsightsRadio.com. You're on the net. We're on Facebook. You can find Iggy at IggyGarcia.com. You can find Katie Singing Eagle on Facebook. Is it Katie Singing Eagle?
Katie Singing Eagle on Facebook or Katie Mack on YouTube.
Okay. And Mark, yours is?
You can find me at www.markmathini.com.
Or you can find him at Matheny's Bub.
Or on Facebook.
In Cranstonville, Ireland.
Sometimes I randomly appear on Toast as well.
Yeah.
Go have a pint of Guinness.
Hold on, I'm going to call. I just thought it was funny. And a piece of toast.
A piece of toast and a pint of Guinness.
So what do you put in a toaster?
Huh?
What do you put in a toaster?
What do I put in a toaster?
Mm-hmm. What do you put in a toaster?
Bread.
Okay, good. Yeah, I thought I was going to say toast. I've had people say toast. So like, I'm like, okay. You can't put toast
again. Well, if you like your bread double toast.
Double toast, yeah.
I'm about a 1.5
You should have seen his face.
Person.
He looked like I was asking him a trick question.
I thought that.
He was looking at me going, he's going, Iggy's setting me up on something here. Iggy's setting me up. I'm like, no, just asking a question.
My spider sense was tingling.
I was being ornery. Oh, and the hawk's laughing too. Look at him. He's like, "Yeah."
Well,
what was that?
I don't know. Bling.
Bling. I need more bling.
So there's some other intense energies that we're going to feel leading up to September 22nd, and there may be some distressing world events you may see. But just remember, this is kind of the 3D physical world kind of crumbling a little bit as we move into our light bodies and raise our vibration. And, you know, we can only raise our vibration and our consciousness through letting some old things go sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember, when you see, sometimes you see troubling stuff on the news and whatnot, just so that some of these are, you know, these are transformative experiences for mankind as a whole to, A, increase our empathy and our compassion,
mm-hmm.
and B, to make sure we have our eye on what's, you know, really important. I mean, just, you know, just for myself, as you get older, you just really find that, like, stuff doesn't mean anything, and that what's important is, you know, the people around you.
Oh, absolutely.
And to make sure that you're, you know, you spend time with people or talk to people or help people that need it, and everything else just kind of seems silly other than that stuff, you know.
And that leads me into a good point to ask, you know, what you guys think. When you help somebody or somebody helps you, do you feel it's important also to return the favor back, or is it something that, you know, was just an understanding, or, you know, is it something that works both ways like that? Like if I helped you move, for example, so I helped you move, should I expect something back in return for you?
I don't think you should expect it. I try not to, you know, I'll do freebie stuff for people and whatnot. And I have people that do stuff for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of, I'm just with this spirit that, you know, if that person needs help moving,
mm-hmm.
you know, then I'll help them move or whatnot. But sometimes too, it's just kind of a, sometimes I'll do something for somebody. I won't expect them to pay me back. I'll just be like, hey, pay it forward.
Yeah.
You help somebody else down the line.
Sure.
That,
especially if they don't have anything to give, then I say just, you know, pay it forward, or if you want to give me something, just give me something when you have it. I don't pressure anybody into anything, but if
right.
there's something that's going on and the person does have and they want to do a, like, energy exchange type of thing, then I will accept, because if someone wants to pay me or give me a donation or do an energy exchange, then that blesses them to give to me. And it blesses me to receive, and then in receiving, I can bless someone else.
Right.
Yeah. Scorekeeping just leads to misery, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, if you want to give, if you want to help, then do it with a loving heart, and you send that energy out. And then I found that... you know, it comes back to you. If it's not from that person,
it'll come back.
Just
mm-hmm.
that. Here's an example from the last couple of days.
Okay.
So your wife Susie had burned her hand.
Right.
She wanted some. She was running low on lavender essential oils.
Right.
Okay. So I gave her a little freebie packet I had,
sure.
a sample packet,
mm-hmm.
and that
sample.
Helped her.
Mm-hmm.
I had a reading yesterday that I did that I met through some of the essential oil people.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gives me two free packets yesterday.
Oh, okay.
The same exact thing.
You recoup your packet and you got an extra one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Very good.
So it's scorekeeping and, you know, tit for tats. That just ends up making you miserable in the long run.
And we do that in this society. We kind of keep score, you know. We kind of have that little book in the back of our mind, you know, to say, hey, you know, I helped you, and, you know. Ask a drunk person. They'll remind you. I helped you. Sorry. And I think a lot of it's timing, too. You got to know when to, you know, give back. There has to be, I feel like there has to be an exchange of some at some level or some degree, and an understanding of that exchange as well. You know, may not be an acceptable exchange at some point also. You know, like if you're doing work, for example, say you're just doing it on a donation basis. Someone gives you a buck, I mean, and you did something, you know, it might not be acceptable. You know, you might have to say, well, you know, maybe next time, you know, give me $50 or $40 or $30. You know, a lot of people in our business get burned out because, you know, they give so much, and the person receiving doesn't understand that concept. There has to be an exchange of that energy to balance out, because your version of what that is to you is much different than what the person receiving. Because you're giving, you're facilitating, and you're cleansing, you're doing whatever you need to do. And I think that's, like you said earlier, it's all about communication, also communicating and saying, hey, you know what? And letting them know, if you can't give, setting the parameters in the healthy and wholesome manner prior to, that way you don't feel that way. You know, if you're going to get a dollar, then you're already ready for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not going to be a shock and a surprise.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's a sliding scale. You know, and the sliding scale should be at a certain point, too, I think.
Yeah. And something I've seen is, I used to be a person that was very much into regular church, going on Sundays during the week, especially when there was a special speaker or someone there. I've seen healers come to churches and have lineup of people, and then people just throw 20s and 50s and 10s. And I mean, that person, they're using their gift that God gave them, but that person is walking out of that sanctuary or that building with thousands of dollars in their pocket, if not hundreds, they're working out with thousands, because I've seen it. I mean, the whole sanctuary or front, the steps covered with money people have given them just because they had hands laid upon them for their healing gift.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the people out in the community that have the same gift that's not necessarily in a church, but just as spiritual, just as gifted from God, just has the same gifts and callings. But people don't want to give them or donate to them what they're worth. So, but it, in a way it does work out, but it's good if there is some sort of energy exchange. You receive that gift of laying on of hands, Reiki, energy, light, whatever has been given to you, a reading of astrology or the stars or just an intuitive tarot or whatever, and then give that person even, you know, whatever suggested donation or whatever you can give to that person for that exchange. That
yeah.
makes sense?
Oh, that makes sense to me, you know, because, I mean, three of us and many, many other friends of ours have gone through the situation as healers. There's some people who believe that, excuse me, the gifts shouldn't be sold or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that point of view too, and that's their choice. But they can't put that on everybody. You know, I've had people who do energy work, you know, not necessarily condemn or, but you know, question me, you know, or say, oh, but those are the gifts of the spirit. Well, you know what? So is a dollar bill. You know, so is sage, and so is, you know, whatever you use, and it comes from a spirit. Everything comes from a spirit. Everything comes from the mother. Now you choose not to charge whatever. That's your business. You know, you shouldn't have to tell somebody else. I should never have to tell Katie, oh, Katie, you shouldn't do that. Or you show you, Mark, no, you shouldn't. We all have to survive on this planet. You know,
right.
Some of us, you know, do better than others. And even healers have a hard time surviving in the world they've created for themselves. Because they're so dedicated to their call that sometimes money's not important. And they know they need it, but they still do it. You know, I'm kind of like that too. You know, I know when people can't give, but I still do it. You know, I still lay on hands. I still do my shamanic work because I know in the end it's not about gaining or acquiring. It's about where I was able to help and facilitate and be that open vessel to bring, you know, the spirit in and to help clear whatever needs to be done. Because I don't know how you guys are, but there's times when I do my work, I don't remember a lot what happens. I know that I'm going and I'm doing what God's work and the spirit's work. And I can feel the energy coursing through my hands and, you know, and through the things that I use. And I feel that I'll be rewarded later on in a different time. So for me, I'm not keeping score, but I just know, and I have, and it's been that way for me, that later on things come my way. And I'm very grateful for that. You know, I am blessed with what I do receive, and I'm thankful for it.
Like, I received healing from Iggy a couple weeks ago, bring up some of the things I needed to work on, and I don't always have money to give. This is my friend, but what I do give is just like, I told him I'd bake him some zucchini bread.
That was awesome.
I baked him 2 loaves of zucchini bread, and I make good lasagna. I got, I'm still going to make him a good pan of lasagna. So, sometimes you don't have money, you can give one of your other gifts, like a gift in exchange, because I cook pretty decently. So you give me your gift of healing, I'll give you my gift of
yumness.
And you know what, too? That's so. I had like 13 thoughts in my head at once. But that's some. You know, sometimes it means more to me, like, you know, somebody bakes you something, or, you know, if they just do something like that in return, that kind of stuff means a lot, you know, because they took, sometimes it's easy to hand over a $10 bill or whatever, but to know that somebody, you know, took time to make something for you, or
mm-hmm.
to do something for
yeah.
you, and that there is thought and intention that, you know,
that's a lot. That
somebody
means a lot.
Loved you enough to more than just give you a, you know,
$10.
They took the time to bake something or cook something, or
and it actually costs them more.
Maybe make you a birthday card or whatever it is. I mean, that kind of stuff's cool, and I remember that as much as I'm going to remember the $10 sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's, I mean, right, there's some people that think you shouldn't charge for any kind of spiritual or anything, any kind of work like that. And I've had to struggle with that kind of stuff because I used to just give stuff away for free. But on the other end, because I've been, you know, I pay people for reading sometimes because I always want, you know, it's hard to, I think I'm pretty good at helping other people, but you know what, I need help looking at my chart sometime. I don't have the detachment to look at my chart, and I have other astrologers point stuff out to me all the time, and because I'm like, I'm so busy looking at everybody else's, I don't see my own.
Right.
You know, so sometimes I need, and so, I'll share with you a rough lesson I've learned in my life that I've just kind of figured out recently. And sometimes you have, like if you pay for, sometimes the other person needs to pay for the reading. Because there's focus and there's intent there, and it's taken more seriously. Because, you know, you have that thought and that intention. You have to think about, you know, is it worth me paying $40 or $60 or whatever for this reading? And it's like, then there's more serious intent behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, there's more focus, and it's, sometimes people listen better. I know sometimes I may not appreciate something that I get for free as much as if I had to weigh it out and say, hey, is this worth $30 that I earned or $50 or whatnot? And so sometimes that kind of puts more, you know, there's more focus on it and everything too. And, you know, the other side of the giving and receiving thing, a very rough lesson I have learned is that sometimes when you don't let other people give back to you, you're robbing them.
Yes.
You're robbing. I can, now.
Yeah.
Now I see where potentially in the past I have probably run some people out of my life that I didn't want to at the time. And it's, I'm so much about being self-reliant and taking care of myself and everything that I, after many years, I could see that I was, you know, no wonder they didn't want to be friends anymore. No wonder they didn't want to be in the relationship anymore. I was robbing them because I wouldn't let them give back. And even if it was, you know, it's just a show of appreciation and sharing with the other person that, sometimes it's easy to give and not take back, and you know, it's like no, I don't need anything. But that's robbing the other person of feeling good sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And
here,
that's,
I want to give you a chicken.
That was right, and that was, I mean, dude, it took me a long time to figure that. I was like, oh, I'm being a good friend or good boyfriend or whatever by not being needy and not asking for stuff all the time. But it's like, no, it wasn't. I was excluding the other person.
Sure.
You
got
to balance.
And it was,
have a good balance.
And man, it took me I was dumb. It took me a long time to figure that one out. Long time.
And those are life lessons. Those are experiences. We go through that. And people, you start to figure it out pretty quick when people don't want to be around you. You're not doing something, not necessarily bad, but like you said, you know, he doesn't appreciate me or something, you know.
Right. And I've never hit anyone or abused, or I don't even yell at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have to yell at somebody once every 3 years or so. You know, I don't even.
Point at me.
So it's not even that, but it's just that I didn't include them enough by letting them give back in return.
Good. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, you know. Universe is just a very mysterious place sometimes. But is it really mysterious? You know, do we give it the mystique that it's, you know, that it has? They say there's nothing new under the sun, right?
Right. That's in Ecclesiastics.
Mm-hmm.
what I'm finding right now is that whether it's the I'll try and keep this to a point. Whether it's the but no,
number 12.
I was lying. I'm not.
Go ahead. You're on a roll, man.
Whether it's the Bible or the legal system, or courtrooms, or even if it's a movie, or just I'm finding that almost everything that happens on the little blue marble here is simultaneously operating on three levels. There is the base literal level where, you know, I can see, feel, touch this. This is the direct physical baseline literal reality that, you know, what this book says is a literal interpretation, or what this movie says is a literal artistic message, or what or this law is a literal. Then there's a second level for the people that kind of understand the bigger picture of things and kind of see how there's another level the Bible was written in, the parables, the symbolism, the messages. Same thing with the legal system. There's a second level that the legal system exists in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the spiritual level where there is, you know, there is magic in everything, and there is spiritual things happening while these seemingly mundane physical things are happening. So everything is kind of existing. Our relationships, our jobs, everything is working on us on three levels at the same time. And so that's kind of where seemingly mundane things or relationships we're in or whatnot, which may just be, oh, well, this is only... But when you look at it, it's working on you on three different levels. Same thing as the universe with the transits you've got. When you're having a transit from a... When Mars is hitting in your chart, it's not just working on you on one level. It's hitting you on three levels. And so the key to anything, I think, is understanding these three different levels. You know, body, mind, spirit.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how the universe works in threes, even in biblical.
Yes.
And even in, you know, medicine wheel work, the threes in the middle. You know, there's threes are... pretty important number.
Even our language, even the English written language, it's written in, on three levels simultaneously. It's written on just the basic, you know, words, and then when you get into the etymology of stuff, where you see where words come from, and how words are condensed from other words, that kind of... I mean, I've found just recently there's a lot of words that I was very confused on what the real definition was until where you really look where they came from. And then two, words are symbols, which, I mean, they're meditations, spells, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call them. And there's a spiritual level just to our written word.
Sure.
And that's, like we said, that's why it's called spelling.
Yeah, it's just like a word that's been going through my mind all morning, and I was driving, and it popped up in me again. It was altruistic. What is I've heard it, and it's, I think it has to do with being philanthropic or something like that. So I've got to look up that word, altruistic. Philanthropic's a good word, too. I like big words. They roll off the tongue nicely.
I knew Phil. He was a good guy.
I knew Al, too.
And Ann.
Al Bundy.
Philanthropic.
Supercatcher. Supercatcher. How do you say it?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Is that too big a word to roll off your tongue?
If you say it long enough, you'll probably sound precocious.
Abracadabra.
Yeah, abracadabra.
I speak thought into existence.
Remember the
abracadabra.
Bugs Bunny song? Abracadabra. Well, we're getting off the subject. Yeah, sometimes you gotta laugh even at being serious. And
yeah.
You were talking about Mars. You mentioned Mars about three times, and I'm like, my mind started going, are we really Martians? Did we live on Mars and then later come down to this Earth?
Why not?
you know, because they see faces and beings, and I've seen so many things, and the Anunnaki and all kind of things that have to do with Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm certainly not from here. I don't think anyone would argue that.
And like Mark says, just wait. I'm just going to go home. I already say I'm ready to go home back to Earth.
Yes.
God knows where we're at now.
Yeah. I know my mom used to say, if I didn't come from her body, she didn't know where I came from. She wouldn't know.
I was born twice, so we'll talk about that on another show.
Yeah, I'll have to get your information, and we'll bring in everybody's chart next week.
Yeah, September. All right. So this is what's going to happen, folks. The second part of the show will be a rerun since we're heading to the end of our hour. The next part of the show will be the show we were supposed to air yesterday. It didn't air. It's going to be on animal guides. So those of you who are interested in animal guides and want to know just kind of an insight how I see animals and how they react with us in the real world and what the symbolism means, tune into that show. But we're going to start closing up here, you know, and any final thoughts you want to get? Mark? I'll ask you first. You take the longest. I'm just joking.
The fishy takes a long time to swim somewhere. Just look out for each other. Everybody's going through their own experiences. Everyone is evolving at different speeds and going through different things. So just when you run into people during the day, you know, when you can, give him a hug or whatnot.
Or tickle him.
Right, or tickle him. Because you just don't know what they've been through. You don't know what's going on with them. So, hey, if you can make somebody laugh today, then do it.
Good point. Very good. Katie, anything you want to close
That's
with?
That's what I said. Love on each other. Show somebody, well, you know, sometimes people don't want to be touched. But show someone some love, some kindness, some joy. Let them know that there's, you know, don't take themselves or take this life too seriously sometimes. Just enjoy, live. Don't, you know, get the rot out of your backside and relax.
Yeah. And I'll finish with saying, you know, like you said, some people don't like to be touched. Give somebody a high five, a wave, or a fist pump, you know, or, you know, do a kid and play or something, you know, I don't know. Just, so, you'll know what to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think people, we walk through life sometimes and we just are in our bubble. You know, maybe it's time to bust our bubble so we can move in, you know, help other people bust their bubble so they can see the world for what it really is, you know. It's a beautiful place. The world's in perfect perfection. It's just our perceptions of the world that are maybe a little skewed off. But other than that, the grass grows every day without any hesitation. The trees do their things, the clouds move through, the birds fly. So humans do the same thing, but, you know, just go out and make a difference in the world. Be that peace, be that love, be that change in the world.
Right. Be the change in the world that you want to see.
And experience. And with that, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
And Monday, tomorrow we have an end of the show at 11 o'clock in the evening. Actually, it's a Thursday, sorry. And then we have Todd's show, Mud Toe Sasquatch, at midnight on Friday. And we're back here on Monday, and then again on Tuesday. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Blog Talk Radio. Hey, good evening. This is Chris. I am here with Insights Radio today. I hope you can join us. I hope you bring your friends along. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about animal guide meditation using the ceremonial bunk. Of course, you can go about into different realms and different things about animals. Basically, this topic today is about animals, your animal guide. And then how the animals approach you, how they pick you, how you pick them, and how you come together with them. Now, what I'm noticing here, I'm having a little difficulty on my radio here. One sec. So So I'll get a little technical difficulties out of the way. We should be fine. All right, sounds good. Sounds like we're on. I apologize about that, folks. The internet can be kind of a funny thing sometimes. All right, well, topic today, animal guides. What are animal guides? Many people think the animals speak for us. They actually do things for us. They are messengers for us. They talk to us. And a lot of that's true, and I'm sure there's a lot of things that I'm not, I'll probably miss, and there's things that I'll learn through the talks and talking to everybody on air. My experience with animals is they're in tune. They're very in tune what goes on in the universe. They understand and they feel, and they the reception and perception of things is more than anything. Sometimes we wonder why earthquakes happen and then the animals are leaving town, packing their bags and taking off. Well, because number one, animals are grounded. Animals are connected. That's one of the biggest differences between animals and us. What I understand animals, and just from raising dogs and cats and little hamsters and fish and different species, llamas and different things that I've come in contact with over the years, is that animals are God's creation, just like we are. The animal is more connected to God than sometimes we are. Animal lives in the moment. And when I say animal, I'm talking about your pets, the deer that run across the road. Sometimes we wonder why the deer runs across the road. Well, you know what? That road belonged to the deer before it belonged to us and his generation and his ancestors. We take animals for granted, that animals are the spirit of God. And when the animals fly above us or when they cross our paths, they're giving us a message. And they're telling us. They're wanting us to be more awake and more alert. And sometimes us as humans, we fail to observe the obvious. An animal that lives every day outside in the cold or inside of your house or inside of a living room or wherever, they live in the moment. They live in the now. Squirrels and chipmunks and different and mice and stuff, yeah, they're gatherers and they think about the future, but not in the sense like we do. A dog, a family dog, doesn't pack a lunch. He doesn't take things and put it away. There are a few cases, but the thing is animals live for now, and they understand the now. They understand that the moment is important to them, that if they do what they're supposed to do, things will work out for them. They don't worry about them. They don't stress out about things. They get worried and stressed out is when we don't take care of them. But your family dog is a good example. Your family cat, he gets up in the morning or she gets up in the morning and they ask for food, and we put it in the bowl. They live in the moment. And sometimes we need to learn from our little four-legged. We need to learn from the four-legged that living in the moment is very important. And maybe we wouldn't be so stressed out worrying about yesterday and worrying about tomorrow. Because I know my dog doesn't worry about what happened yesterday. The only thing he remembers is the behavior, my behavior, towards him or her at that moment, what I did yesterday. Because he recognizes that. They have memories, too. Let's not take them for granted that animals have memories and they remember things and they know how you treat them. And they're in touch with you. Some people can speak to their animals. Some people can understand them by gestures, the way they move. I guess maybe that's one way I understand my animals, more through gesture and through symbolism. I can see birds in the air or a certain type of raccoons or deers running in front of me. So what I'm here to talk to you today about is the animals. Native Americans are very in tune to their animal guides. A lot of people have spirit guides, but you have spirit guides as animals too. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about different animals that you're probably familiar with and the things they do. Like, for instance, we talk about the eagle. The eagle is a majestic bird, very powerful, very strong. And when he calls, you can hear him. When he screams or she screams, just screeching. Amazing. Well, eagle medicine, from what I've known and what I've been taught, is the power of the Great Spirit. Who's the Great Spirit? It's a connection to divinity. Divinity is who? It's God. And that's why the eagle is very symbolic and very important. So when I tell you these things about animals, but what I really want you to do is, gather your own information about the animals. what does the eagle mean to you? Not what to me or to Native Americans or to anybody or to, you know, the symbolization of our country here in the United States, if you live here, as the power eagle, the power source. No, think about it. Journal. What you need to do is journal every day all the animals that come across your path. Animals tell us. They are our messengers. And we need to be in tune. And I say we need to is because many, many, many times I myself have avoided an accident or avoided a situation just because I paid attention. Just because I paid attention to the smallest detail of something that I saw. And sometimes the animal's talking not necessarily a physical harm, but also about ourselves in our bodies. You see mouse, you see squirrels, you see anything four-legged that crawls on the ground. Then you need to work and you need to look inside yourself. In our tradition of Nemanja, what we see when we see an animal of a squirrel caliber or something like that, it's a signal to us that we need to look inside. But there's something about us that we need to look inside of. And the same with the eagles. When I talked about the eagle earlier, divinity, it's the east door. So when you look at the east door, understand that the eagle sees far. He has the great vision to look beyond. So sometimes we have to understand of the little messages that our friends bring us. So, eagle, divinity, mouse, looks within. And you travel. When we do work on the medicine wheel, when I do work with people, these are the things I look for. The buffalo is a good example. Counsel at the buffalo door. The buffalo door is very important. What does it mean to seek counsel for somebody? It means a lot. A lot. It's very important. At the north door, we seek spirits, heavenly beings, the wolf sign. So our friends aren't just telling us little things, and they're not just there. Because remember, we're sharing this habitation with them, this world, this life. So now, while we talk about animals, let's talk about your friends, the dog and the cat. The dog, very noble, very loyal, do just about anything for you if, you know, treated properly, treated right. They're like people. They just need love. The dog's been around for centuries, for eons. Dog's been there. It's either been, I hate to say it, food for people, or it's been there as a protector, a warning, a first alarm system in the world. So we have a lot to thank for the animals, the dogs, to think about them. And the same with our cats, our household cats. Our cats, I believe, have been breaded down over time. The cat is one of the only animals that will just actually kill another animal for fun. Out of dangerous animals, the household cat, and proven and shown that they will just mutilate and destroy things out of sheer pleasure. If that's their thinking, that's their way, not our way. It's their medicine. They have to do things like that for some reason. So what I would like you to do is to, open up and start journaling every day that you run into animals and what you're running into and how they're approaching you in your life. Because what happens is the animals, they speak. They speak truth. And if you want truth, look at the animal. Look at the deer that's crossed your path. The hawk that's flown over. The hawk is the messenger. Messengers of God. There's a message there. The otters, femininity. The moose, stamina. All these things are very important. So when you start journaling just every little detail that comes to you. What came across in your mind at that moment? What were you thinking of when you thought of that? Because as you journal, the things will change over time. Some things will stay the same, and some of the things will be completely different. So what I'm going to do now is just give you some ideas, read to you about certain animals and how they're important. We've spoken about the eagle, kind of have an understanding of the eagle, and the eagle also is the contrary. You have to always have the contrary to things. We know that the eagle in reverse is the power sign of the Great Spirit. Sometimes we have to recognize that the Great Spirit is trying to speak to us. And sometimes we have to say, the eagle presents itself to me, so obviously God is trying to communicate with me through him and through many things, because through God's spoken word, we can't hear. It's too powerful. It's too strong. Then we speak about the messenger, the hawk, the messengers of the gods. The messenger of the sky circles my dreams and teach me the message as we fly. Those are messages that we have to understand. And, you know, as we see, the hawk also has a contrary. The hawk is drawn in reverse. Sometimes we need to pay attention to the message. What is the message? Okay, the hawk is giving you a message. But that's not always about the message. Maybe we are the messengers too. Sometimes we give too much power to other things and to other beings. Or you may see an elk, depending on what regions of the country you live in. And the elk is stamina. This is the stamina sign. When you see elk, or maybe a deer as well, the elk is very powerful. The elk can outdo and outrun and out-hustle a pack of wolves through his domain. He knows. He's very powerful. And when he creates his odor, his scent, when he's trying to mate. So the stamina. You see an elk, and you say, stamina. Maybe you lack stamina. Maybe that's the contrary. And maybe you need to keep staying power, to stay strong. The elk is not the fastest creature, but he is powerful, and he has the strength to outdo and outlast. Now, the deer. The deer represents gentleness, the sweetness, the love, the fawn of the Great Spirit. Now, here with the deer, you know, it's loving. Good example, Bambi. Bambi was Disney per se. Is gentle. So the gentleness is, you know, when you see deer in the road, you say, oh, deer, careful, watch out. Like I said earlier, the deer, he migrates, he moves, and he travels, and he's forced, and he's pushed into areas that he's not accustomed to. So he stands in the middle of the road. He doesn't know it's a road. He knows it's his home, and his ancestors traveled that path. So us, as humans, have to understand that the deer is a gentleman. Now, the contrary, the opposite, for everything that is position of the deer and contrary is, if we're not gentle, then we're fighting or feisty. Maybe we're not gentle enough. Maybe the deer is saying that we need to be more gentle with ourselves and with the people that we know. And that's something, these are the things you have to understand about animals. These are just things that I've been taught, I've learned. The deer could mean something completely different from you. And that's what I want you to draw upon and create what you think is important for you, not what's important for me. So when you journal this, these are just ideas. Now, we move on, and we're talking about the introspect, the bear. Be introspective. The bear, I mean, he hibernates in the winter. Why? To gain that introspection of himself. The bear medicine is very powerful. And that's why in a lot of medicine wheels, the bear lives in the west door of the medicine wheel. The bear seeks honey, or he seeks sweetness, truth within, and he looks in the old trees. And then when the winter comes, he hibernates. He puts himself to sleep. He goes into almost like a death. And then the bear has to think, and he's creating, and he's thinking. And sometimes we have to be like the bear. We have to look inside and say, be introspective. But the contrary of the bear also is that sometimes we're not. Sometimes we don't look, and sometimes we don't create that dialogue with ourselves. So within yourself, you have to, you know, the bear teaches us to set goals. Maybe you're not setting the right goals. Maybe that's why the bear is behaving the way he does when he presents himself. I know here in Columbus, Ohio, I don't see too many bears unless I go to the zoo, but not to say that they're not out there. Now, a lot of these you're familiar with, and you'll probably have other people tell you different things about different animals. The next animal that I want to speak about is called the snake. The snake represents change, a transmutation, you know, shedding of the skin, crawling on the ground, being moving in a slithering path, well, the snake is not a bad sign. None of these signs, in my opinion, are bad. Every animal represents and every animal gives and teaches. So when you see the snake, don't look at it as a bad thing. The snake is a transmute. As humans, we're always transmuting. We're always changing, regardless of what you believe or you think. Even in our medical symbol, the double helix of the snake, the representation of our DNA, or shedding. The energy is very powerful, very cosmic. The alchemy for it is very, very strong. Now, the contrary on the snake is maybe we're not releasing our outer skin. Maybe we're not willing to transmute and change. Maybe we're so stubborn that we don't want to do that. Maybe the snake is a symbol for us to tell us, you know, it's time for us to change a bit, get into that new rhythm. So when you see snake, even if you go to the zoo and you see these animals, they're speaking to you. You see them on a nature show, they're speaking to you. So you have to understand, towards the end of our show, what we'll talk, we'll do onto a small meditation. And what we'll talk about, and I'll guide you through, and hopefully you'll find your animal guides for the day. One of my favorite animals is the skunk. You're probably wondering why I say skunk. Well, you know, skunk, his medicine is very powerful. He puts his message out there. It's pretty blunt. And his medicine's reputation. He has a reputation to spray you, and you'll never forget it. And that reputation you'll never forget. So the skunk is very powerful medicine. And you can laugh all you want. Very little animal. He has a lot of power. Unlike other predatory animals, the skunk does not threaten your life or try to eat you. Neither does a deer or, you know, maybe a moose, but a bear will eat you. And a hawk will attack you. And an eagle will also swipe at you if you're in his domain. It's all about attitude. Even though I'm small and I'm not as big as a mountain lion or a dog or a big bear, my reputation stands and precedes me. If you get in my way, and I have to defend myself, and I'll spray you. What's the contrary? What is the contrary on the skunk? Okay, the skunk. Your reputation, your self-esteem, the truth about yourself. You know, the nonchalantness about you. The neutralizing effect, the leaking energies of you. You know, that's what you have to look at. So when you come across a skunk, what is my reputation? How does it perceive me? Do I have balance? Do I spray too much? Am I overspraying people? Am I being too blunt? And now we move to another one of my animals that I like. It's the otter. So playful. The otter is woman medicine. The medicine held by the otter is less than a female energy. It applies both men and women. All of us have a female side. And otter's hide is very often used to make medicine bags for powerful women because it represents balance and female energy. You know, the otter is very caring and takes care of its brood. And for hours and hours, it will play. A joyful little creature, very adventurous, and will do a lot of things. So when you think of otter or you see otter, it's woman medicine. On the contrary, and this goes for men and women, you know, sometimes maybe we're not gentle or we're not feminine enough and we're not taking care of ourselves in the way we should. So be like the otter a bit. You know, relax a bit. So now we covered otter. We covered several animals so far, but I wanted to keep going. So one of the probably most important ones, and you probably have heard of this, is the butterfly. Butterfly medicine is very, very, very powerful. And it's a representation of being on the ground, crawling, and then a reborn transformation. That's the butterfly. Transformation into something that was completely different. Genetically, DNA, everything. The butterfly, when he's a caterpillar, he has nothing, no remnants, completely different when he becomes a butterfly or she becomes a butterfly. The transformation. Sometimes when we look at our lives, where we are in this stage of life, we ask ourselves, you know, where am I? Am I in the cocoon? Am I the butterfly? Am I the callipus? We're all in these different stages. Egg stage is just, you know, thoughts or ideas. In the larva stage, do I need to make more decisions? Is it in the cocoon stage? I'm developing and doing something to make an idea a reality. Four is the birth stage. I'm sharing. I become this beautiful butterfly. Now I can fly my wings. And then the cycle repeats itself when you lay the egg. And the contrary, on the butterfly, you have to understand, the butterfly, if it is weakened, if you try to be helped out of its cocoon, you will actually kill it. You will actually damage it. You will make it deformed. So now, as a butterfly, ask yourself, you know, what stages of life am I in your life? The butterfly medicine is very, very powerful medicine. Because of the butterfly is probably one of the most transformation, the most change for people. I would have to say, in my stage of my personal life, that I am probably in the cocoon stage, that I have a lot to grow, a lot to learn yet. So that's one of your quests, 20 things that you need to learn, being a butterfly. Butterfly medicine is very popular. People have different takes about it and different ways to understand it. We go to the Great Mother, the Great Spirit, the clothes of my heart. We talk about the turtle medicine. The turtle represents Mother Earth, Earth Mother, Turtle Island, the land of my ancestors, not just North American Native, also South American Native. The turtle represents, it's the oldest symbol on the planet. It's a personification of goodness and goddess energy, the eternal mother, the soil, the soil we walk on. Now I challenge you to take your shoes off once in a while out there and feel the medicine of the turtle. Feel the Mother Nature's medicine on your feet. Because you know what? You'll be surprised. When your feet touch soil, you'll feel a sense of coldness at first. Why a lot of indigenous people around the world don't necessarily get sick. We all inhale. You know, a lot of indigenous people, the lymphatic points on your foot are moved by, you know, the contours of the earth, stones, rock, and that pushes. It's like a reflexology of the Mother Earth. She gives you a reflexology. Excuse me. So when Mother Earth touches you, your foot, it's probably one of the most unappreciated gifts of Mother Earth, turtle energy. Next time when you walk on the ground, rainy day, snowy day, beautiful day, feel it. I mean, sometimes we take our shoes off before we come into our home. Why isn't that? And why don't we do that when we're outside? Well, it's very simple. It's very to understand. Earth Mother, it grounds us. It helps us. It connects us with our energy. So the turtle, you know, the contrary of the turtle, you know, the reverse, is not to appreciate that. You know, the earth is helpless in a sense. That we could do so much for her that we don't. We're flippant, you know, about her. We abuse her. And one day she's going to tuck her head inside and her feet in, and she's going to turn on her back, and it's going to be a very bad place for our doing, for our survival. Mother Earth will never, never suffer. She would just change, and she would transmute. She would become gentle, and she would transform. She will do all the things that the animals tell. And that's the same way we have to be. We have to be like the animals. Now, I know that some people have run across the moose. Moose energy, you know, it's usually found in the north as a medicine wheel in some bands. It's kind of like the buffalo tube represents the same thing. wisdom. And our band in the Buffalo State's in the West, so I guess the moose would sit in the West for us. Excuse me. Do I clear my throat here? I apologize. You know, the call of the male moose, awesome thing to hear. I've heard it. The musky spring night, you can hear the moose in the background making this kind of like someone dying. But the moose is very, 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 very confident. It's about self-esteem. He doesn't care. He's very proud, very majestic. And he'll do anything to protect his breeding ground and protect his offspring and where he's going to go. So, the moose, on the contrary, you know, you have to understand, am I like the moose? How is my self-esteem? Am I like the moose? Am I upside down or am I right side up? Do I take care of what's mine? How is my self-esteem? Too much? Do I overstep my bounds? Self-esteem doesn't mean that you're cocky. Now, one of the most cutest little animals that I, in my opinion, is porcupine. Porcupine, you know, falls under innocence. The porcupine is an innocent creature if you look at it. He was blessed with quails, his little quails, and he kind of doesn't want to be bothered. His energy is, you know, just very almost childlike, innocence, humility, playfulness. You know, many animals stay away from porcupines. They're not really a good meal, and for many good reasons. If you ever got stabbed in the face or on the butt or wherever with porcupine quails, I'm sure you will never forget that. So, I mean, ask yourself, you know, where are you? How are you? Or are you innocent? How is your innocence? I mean, are you are you just belly up? Porcupine, very innocent creature. I apologize that my throat is just a little scratchy today. The coyote medicine has been around for many, 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 many years. The coyote is actually the trickster. Is the dog medicine, I would say. Dog medicine is the coyote medicine, and your dog is kind of a trickster. You know, ask yourself, you know, are you a little devilish? Or do you do things, do you behave one way in front of other people and then act another way? That's what a coyote is, a trickster. Just when he has your confidence, he's biting you. So how are you? How does that affect you? How are you? Are you a trickster to people like that? Do you treat yourself like that? Remember, what you do to other people, you do to yourself. Even if you're mad at someone, you're actually putting out those chemicals into your system, too. So, you know, ask yourself. You know, are all your jokes exploding in your face? That's the contrary, you know. Are you actually tricking yourself when you think you're tricking others? Are you hurting yourself? The dog. And we covered him a little bit because, you know, most people have dogs, most people have cats. The dog is about loyalty. And I think I covered that earlier. The dogs represent nobility to the better end. I mean, your dog will defend you, most dogs, I hope. And so it's, you know, the end. And they're always by your side. They're there to teach you this medicine, to be true and loyal to your friends, especially to yourself. All medicine is self-medicine. So you have to understand, the medicine in general represents you and the folks around you. Now, when the dog medicine is presented to you every day, so if you have a dog, you have to, am I loyal? How am I loyal to you? To myself and to the people around me? Am I a servant soldier? Am I there? Do I represent my tribe? When I say tribe, it's my home, my people. So the contrary is very simple. Are you the opposite of loyal? You know, I mean, are you? you speak the truth. It's spoken. Dogs are just one of those creatures. I mean, I've seen a few, you know, but very little. They are just, I mean, sometimes you wonder who's really getting served. When you have to take care of your animal, well, he really owns you. You don't own him. But dogs are just majestic, loyal, and noble creatures. And sometimes we abuse that. Because whatever we abuse in animals, we abuse in ourselves. So it's just a mirror. Everything's a mirror. Animals are just a reflection of us. The wolf. Many people pull this sign or hear or come across wolves a lot. Well, the wolf is, you know, it's the pathfinder, the forerunner. He's the teacher. He goes out into the world to search and comes back to the clan and teaches the clan of the dogs. And he's loyal like the dog. And the wolves, you know, they keep company, they stay together, and they teach family, and they work together. They're a pack. So your dog is kind of like part of the pack, except he knows, sometimes he knows his role, where he sits. So in the great star, the north, that's where generally the wolf sits. Dogs have been around for many, 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 many centuries, like I've said earlier. So you ask yourself, in the contrary, are you learning? Are you telling? Are you teaching? Are you allowing the Great Spirit into your heart? Are you allowing? Are you just howling and growling? So it's very important to understand that you're learning, you're teaching when you're the Great Spirit. Then we go to the raven. The raven is a very powerful bird, and its medicine is a magic. And it's been across centuries, and you've seen it in history books, and you've seen it in movies, you've seen it in just about everything, or some type of representation of the raven. It's pitch black, it's mystical as the moon, and it speaks magic, and will fly with you soon. So the raven magic is a powerful medicine. Raven magic is, symbolizes change in a sense, where the magic can change you, and, you know, and just understanding and analyzing. And it always kind of gets represented with the dark side of things, and I don't think that's always true. I mean, when you put combination of animals together, if you get a message of a hawk and a raven together, it could be the message of darkness or lightness. It really depends on how you want to interpret things. You can interpret things to the side where it's very, I want to say morbid or very dark. But the raven's not necessarily a dark creature. He's just dark. And shamans do a lot with ravens, and they have a lot of different things that they incorporate into their medicine. And it's a medicine you don't just take lightly. You have to take it very serious if you ever come across ravens. Because raven is a magic that can be very deceiving, and it's very ancient medicine. You know, it's magic to remember, magic to encounter. Now, mountain lion, you know, is very difficult power, a very difficult totem, because it's it kind of falls in the same category as your cat at home, because big cats and little cats, little cats are just little versions of big cats like mountain lions, and they represent leadership. And they're very, and you know, cats kind of fall under that leadership, that secretive. So you come across a lot of mountain lions, you know, just be, understand, you know, they're very proud, they're very leaderish, and they like to show, and they stand, and they observe, and they're powerful and graceful. So ask yourself, are my leadership qualities, how are they affecting? Am I a good leader? Am I doing well? And the mountain lion energy. So that would be the reverse, you know. You know, am I taking leadership roles? Am I like the mountain lion? Am I getting across my message? Then that brings us to another cat, the lynx, the secrets. If you ever want to find out what secrets are, ask the link medicine. Unfortunately, it's difficult to get the silent Lynx to speak. Lynx doesn't really call. It doesn't, just yowl. Or it doesn't just make sounds like a mountain lion. It's very, I'm a leader. You want to listen to me? Keeper of the secrets. Lost magical systems. Occult knowledge. Lynx have the ability to move through time and space and to go into great silence of universal and mystery. The Lynx is not the guardian of secrets, but knower of secrets. So the Lynx is the knower of secrets. So as the contrary, everything you have to understand, are you the keeper of secrets? Or are you out there telling everybody, oh, you know what, such and such person is doing this? You know, that's where you have to ask yourself, where am I falling? Where am I coming to? What's going on, you know? Am I a blabbermouth as I talk? So when I tell you about these animals, these are just different things that I've learned about them and how I'm applying them to my life. And now when we get to the buffalo represents prayer and abundance. I don't want to get into too much detail. I know it's a Lakota tradition about the white buffalo and the calf woman and who brought the sacred pipe to the people and taught them to pray. And the bold pipe was, respectable and held high. So, I mean, not to get into something that I really don't truly understand, because I would be lying if I did, but the buffalo represents prayer and abundance. The buffalo is wise. I mean, it falls in the type of wisdom, a willingness to the earth. So when you see buffalo or you encounter buffalo, think prayer and abundance. And the opposite, the contrary to that would be not to have. I've forgotten, forgotten God, forgotten myself, forgotten to honor, forgotten grateful, just everything that I say is just the opposite. Whatever you think that would be, that it is. So what I'm saying is nothing new. And earlier we talked about mouse. The scrutiny. The mouse falls under scrutiny. The mouse touches everything with its whiskers in order to know it. Very paradoxical. It has great power. It's very powerful and a great weakness. It's good medicine. The mouse has poor vision. He can't see things like very well, but he can touch with it. That's why he has such big whiskers and his tail is so long. And, the mouse probably has more enemies than anybody. Birds, snakes, cats. Mouse is food for a lot of people. So, when you ask yourself, do I have mouse medicine? It's a very powerful medicine. The mouse medicine, it angers a lot of people. Mouse is he's a nitpicker, he's a gatherer. And then he's also kind of dirty, he just kind of leaves his droppings wherever he wants. But, like I said, this is his home. It's not your home. You think you own it, but it's not yours. It's the animals. Now, they're either invited in or they're not. So scrutiny, ask yourself. Scrutinize yourself a bit. Are you flamboyant? Are you too much? Do people tell you things and then you don't listen? You don't like to be scrutinized? The mouse could be a conqueror. The mouse, we've heard stories of the mouse is also helped the bigger creatures when he's pulled the stake out of the lion's foot. Very metaphoric. So the mouse is looking within yourself. Favorite, is the owl. It has medicine. Very omonic, very omen, very time and space, very silent. Casting deception. The owl represents clairvoyance and, astral projection, magic, both black and white. Owl is called a night eagle on several medicine wheels used by different indigenous people. The owl generally sits in the east like most birds do and is illuminated. The owl is in the dark when it flies. Its wings are very silent. You can't even hear it when it flaps. The feathers are so light. I know that a lot of people in many tribes believe that the owl is medicine of death. Again, these are just people's beliefs and different things that they've encountered. Deception doesn't mean a bad thing. prayer would be, are you deceiving yourself? Are you deceiving others? Are you deceptive? The Greeks, you know, very, very, very notable for using the owl. You've seen, probably seen movies where the owl was represented, and the owl was actually a metal creature. What am I like? What's going on? What's going on in my life? Before we get started again for the next 15 minutes, we're gonna go over a couple, few more animals. I mean, there's tons of animals I can go through. But we'd be here all night. Now, the beaver. We'll just go real quick. The beaver is the builder. You know, are you building or are you tearing down? He's a doer. He makes the kingdom. He can block waterways. He can block earth energy, incorporate it, change it. So are you a beaver? You know, the beaver's coming to you. Are you willing to work with others? Are you resentful of working with others? I mean, it's the contrary. Very simple. An opossum. A possum falls under a diversion. You know, it plays dead in order to, you know, confuse and the predator doesn't believe in that the game is over. Some predators won't attack an animal that's laying there dead, you know, because dead animals don't taste good to most predators. They may taste good to some birds that pick at them, but, you know, that's sometimes it's either. Are we just going to roll over and just die? Are you the possum? Are you diversion? Using diversions on people, on yourself? Do you just close your eyes and dramatize? Do you just lay there? Do you have to defend your rights to be? I mean, come on. The possum power is powerful because if you look around, and especially in cities, you get a possum powers a lot. You see a lot of possums dead on the road, and you see a lot of possums come across you, or they're in your trash. Think about it. Then we get to the crow. The crow is calling. The crow is about law, the medicine of the law. Fascination. The crow talks of, it has a lot to do with the dead. It's a left-handed guardian. The crow knows unknowable mysteries in creation. Kind of falls in the same kind of category with the raven, in a sense. Kind of a magical thing. The book of laws, the book of seals. And that's where the crow falls. The crow has actually been around, and it's been used in many, 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 many different magical and very many historical, you know, finds in the world. So you ask yourself, you know, the crow, you know, how are you judging? Are you doing the things that you're supposed to do? Do you plan? Are you extreming? So it's the contrary to law. Are you the opposite of that? Then we come to the fox. The fox is a beautiful animal. The fox, you know, is very cunning. It uses the camouflage medicine. That's why they say the wily fox, especially in woodlands. Especially in England when they're chased, you know, by a pack of wild dogs. The fox, you have to be out, fox. You know, ask yourself, are you camouflaging yourself? Are you using camouflage medicine? Are you camouflaging yourself from the friends, from the people, from yourself? Or do you use the camouflage when you need to be aware? You know, don't be you foolish, because, you know, a fox could be foolish and could be cunning. And you may fool yourself, but don't be fooled. We talked a little bit about squirrel earlier. Squirrel is kind of the gatherer, gets his nuts together, and he gets things ready for winter. And he's kind of like the little Boy Scout, the animal all over. That's a medicine. It's kind of an erratic behavior. Sometimes I've seen squirrels where they've been in houses and they just are crazy. They act like they've never had guests over. They're just loud and obnoxious sometimes. But they're cute little things, you know, they take care of things, and they get into your bird feeders, and they disrupt the bird feeder. So ask yourself, are you gathering? Are you preparing? That's what the squirrel represents. So when you're out in the world and you're kind of out there looking, we see squirrels all the time. So that's a pretty powerful medicine, especially in the city and in the times that we live in. Are we like the squirrel at all? I mean, are we hoarding or are we gathering? There's a difference between hoarding and gathering, because gathering is preparing, and hoarding is just applying and multiplying and multiplying until we can't put any more in, and we can't use them. It's going to waste, and, you know, we're not using it. So now, this will be our last animal, because actually insects are animals too, and basically in the medicine wheel. We talk about dragonfly medicine. That's the dream time. It's the illusions. It's the things that when we close our eyes, are we like a dragonfly? Do we ride the wind? Or we're the dragon. The wings are scaling like the dragon. So, on the contrary of that, how are you creating illusions of your life? Like, are they really the way they're supposed to be? Are you just dive bombing? Are you just looking to crash? And ask yourself, how does that fall? It's illusions. Well, I hope I've given you a little bit to kind of work with. And there's other things that we put on my site at avgarcia.com or withinsights.com. There's a lot of animals, and what I want you to do is just kind of take on area of what the animals represent to you. Certain animals represent certain things to me, and that's how I look at them. I journal every day, especially when animals come across, and I try to understand them. They are my brothers and they are my sisters, and they're here as my protection. So now, basically what I want to do is kind of take into a meditation, a very slight meditation. What I want you to do is just relax for a few minutes. I want you to breathe. Find a nice, comfortable place where you just kind of relax. You can lay on the floor, you can sit in a chair. The basic idea is just to be free. I want you to think about today. What happened today? What animals came across your path? What animal spoke to you? What animal is significant to you in your life? Just sit there and kind of reflect back on today. Think about all the different little four legs, us two legs, that we take for granted. Sit back for a few minutes. Just breathe in. Breathe into your nose. Breathe out. Breathe and hold. Breathe. Kind of relax on a regular basis. And I want you to understand the breathing meditation. You take three deep breaths. Inhale through the nose. Exhale through the mouth. Inhale through the mouth. And inhale through the nose. Exhale through the mouth. Inhale. Four counts. Inhale. Four counts. The nose. Fill those lungs up. Forward for four. And empty your mouth. It's really important to understand to breathe. The animals breathe without even thinking about it. Sometimes as humans, we don't breathe enough. Well, we have a lot of problems. When you forget to breathe, that can cause problems. So take this little exercise, you know, breathing, and thinking about an animal that has crossed your path. I do have a video on the animal bundle and the different animals that we encounter. You can find it on Amazon.com, or you can actually find it at my website at avgarcia.com. And it talks about a lot of things we talked about. It's in a little more detail. It's in video format where you can actually go through a guided meditation. We didn't have enough time to do a guided meditation today, but I gave you a breathing meditation. It's very important. It'll be up on my website too. So you can kind of look at it. You can, you know, teach your friends, teach your kids how to use this breathing meditation. It was taught to me by one of my. What I want you to do is just take a moment, think about all the things we talked about today. Since we talked about a lot of different things, about all the animals that come into our lives, into our being. So let's be grateful. Let's be thankful for God's gifts to us. For man has domain over the animals, as it's told, but Mother Nature has domain over us. Even though we think we control her, when she throws a hurricane on us, and when she puts us in that position where we have to survive, who's really in charge? Like I said, the animals get it. They understand. They're the first ones to leave before a tsunami. They're the first ones to leave before a hurricane. They're the first ones to leave before earthquakes or any type of catastrophe, any type of natural disaster. You can look. And you generally don't see a lot of animals dead. They usually don't find a lot of animals, you know, dead on these scenes. You'll see mega pets and regular animals like that because, you know, they've been domesticated. But wild animals, when they start hitting the road, when they start going to the high grounds, that should be your key. That should be your medicine. That should be your understanding. Let's try to understand our brothers and sisters, the animals, and give them a little more respect, a little more courage, a little more understanding. Because they'll teach us. And, you know, and we'll teach them. And hopefully together we can make this a much more beautiful place, a place where we can all work together. So if anybody has any questions, who wants to talk, I know that we have some listeners on the line, and actually nobody's online, but we have people on the chat. Let's see if anybody wants to chat about it real quick. Chat. Sounds like everybody just wants to listen today. There's no problem. Our next talk with N5 Radio and theugarcia.com, we're going to be talking about just how the law of attraction actually works and the different aspects. And then in one of our other shows, we're going to be talking about how we interact in the real world with spirits, dead people, ghosts. We're actually going to see if we can get somebody on the radio here to do a show with us. But our next show is going to be, and you've probably heard a thousand different versions of the law of attraction, but that's what we're going to cover. We're going to cover the medicine world aspect to the law of attraction, how it affects us, and how we break it down. So hopefully you enjoyed our show today. We covered a lot of animals today, and a lot of their gifts to us, and a lot of the medicine. So what I hope that you took something with it today is just to be grateful. I guess on any of my shows or any of the shows with Insights and people on with us at Radio, is that you're just grateful and understand what we're trying to do here and what we're trying to share with you. At our website with insights.com, you can actually visit different articles that people have written about different things, different topics. We have different practitioners, and they share their medicine, basically, with you. And you know, massage therapists, polarity experts, sound ascension workers. We do intuitive business workshops. We do intuitive coaching, where we actually teach you how to be the coach for yourself, even with one of our people helping. So understanding all this, so with Insight Radios and IggyGarcia.com, we're here to learn from each other. Because all healing is self-healing. So hopefully you take that with you today, that all healing is self-healing, that I cannot heal you. You can only heal yourself by having the faith and believing and the understanding that we dictate and we control what happens to us in this world. So understanding that, this will make it a better place, and then we won't have any excuse. The problem is a lot of people want to blame the next guy or that person for the way they're feeling. And you know what? Everybody's our mirror. Everybody, the old saying is, if there's a problem and you're there and you're part of the problem, you got to figure out how to make the problem better, how to get out of the problem, or what's the problem signifies to me. It's just like the animal medicine meditation and the animals that we cover today, their medicine. So we'll be covering on different shows all these different aspects. We cover aspects from UFOs to ghost hunting. We cover it all. So that's where we're starting out today. We're kind of starting with the things that we work with. We'll have different guests on. I hope you really enjoyed the show today. And if you want to drop me an email, you can send it to iggygarcia@iggygarcia.com. Get back to me. Send me a note if you have any questions. If you want to be on our show, feel free to email me. Let me know. We'd like to share. That's the thing. This radio show is about sharing. It's not about Iggy. It's not about Rose. It's not about John or Susie. What it's about is everybody sharing. So we hope that you want to share with us and get on our show with us together and talk about all the wonderful things that are out there. Because you know what? There's a lot to learn from one another. I'm here to learn. I want to learn. And hopefully our show keeps growing every day like it, you know, it has with other projects that we have. We're new to the radio, but we're excited. We're really excited, and we can see the potential in it. And the next thing, the next show, what we're going to cover is actually the medicine wheel, the law of attraction according to the medicine wheel. We've got about 1 minute left on our show. I hope you enjoyed everything. And if you have any questions, like I said, feel free to call me or send me an email at iggygarcia@iggygarcia.com. Visit us at withinsights.com. We hope you enjoyed the show tonight. It's been a pleasure. A lot of our shows are pre-recorded on our online. So you can actually go back and take a look at some of our previous shows that we have and blog with us, you know, respond to our blogs if you have any questions with us. I've enjoyed our time together. Hopefully that you have a wonderful week. And that God bless you. And that the great spirit is always with you. And much love and teach love. And peace begins with me. Always peace begins with me. And we'll see you next time on With Insight Radios, and we'll talk to you soon.